Greetings, everybody. I'm your host, James Gillen, and we've got another great show. We've got Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and she's been a frequent guest on the show and at the ranch, and I think it's great to catch up and see what's going on. I know she just got back from Italy, so we can start there and talk about some of the things that she covered in Italy and the conference there. I guess the mainstream press picked it up and everything else, so she's making quite a splash in the world. So without any further ado, I want to bring on Laura. Laura, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, James.
Hey, it's great to talk to you again.
Yes, it's great to be here.
Yeah, so how did Italy go?
Well, it was great. I mean, the preparation, though, was pretty brutal. I don't know. I guess energetically I was moving through a lot of stuff, but I was a wreck. Writing my paper and just, you know, digging real deep into just everything I possibly could, which was the fun part because exposing truth, of course, is a very liberating feeling, and we all have so much passion behind what we do, but whether it was interferences or attacks, there was just a lot to move through. I even had a dream that my fifth chakra was closed down and I was like suffocating and choking and I couldn't talk. That was when I arrived in San Marino, which is not considered Italy. It's a republic within Italy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Dr. Dream was with me and, of course, had to sort of deal with my energetic process, but it all ended up, you know, being just a real success. I wrote a 20-page paper, which I submitted, and then I had a translator, which, of course, doubled the time, and, you know, just showed up after going for some walks and just kind of acclimating mm-hmm. and, you know, really enjoying the beauty of Italy and, oh, my goodness, I mean, just San Marino. And then got there and just loved the crowd and just felt so at home when I was sitting there and just in the flow of it, which is far different than how I was feeling mm-hmm. in the preparation. Yeah. And it just really went off well. I talked slowly, which is usually not the case. And then I had a few interviews with some of the TV shows and they were happy with me. And, you know, the paper was good because I just put myself in the shoes of people hearing it for the first time and, you know, made sure that I presented it or opened the dialogue with, you know, kind of helping to open people's minds. And yeah. I just went full on into ET government treaties, a lot about, you know, Eisenhower and kind of setting the record straight of where these treaties actually originated mm-hmm. and what the process probably was based on lots of whistleblower testimony and, you know, just things that I experienced due to that Mars recruitment I went through in 2006, which ties into these treaties and, of course, alternatives 1, 2, and 3. And so it's kind of like the whole shebang of what I've researched, what I've experienced, and then introducing my term. Well, it's not really my term, but it's connected to Alternative 3. I termed it Alternative 4. So mm-hmm. it's just another number, really.
Yeah.
And it's about the power of the human spirit carrying us through and the need to not evacuate Mother Earth or go along with an artificial timeline based on control agendas, but to really focus in on the power of our spirit and our unification.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to back up just a second, and I want to thank you for your perseverance and continuing to go forward. But the I know last time I had Dr. Dream on the air, we had it's on the air too. It's funny. We had a black helicopter fly over with this half a ball, like a shaped object built into the helicopter, and it totally blasted us with this huge magnetic pulse. And I'm just healing after that one. It's weird because it created all these skin anomalies, problems, you know, physical health problems and everything else. It was quite a hit. Yeah, we all saw it. You know, everybody here saw him fly right over the tower, right where I'm broadcasting as we speak. But some of the things that they're using now, you were talking about how, you know, you're all out of sorts and your fifth chakra was shut down. I'm seeing now that they're not only engaging like sorcerers and remote influencers and their super psychics and things of that nature to try to screw with the light workers. They're also using technology. It's like a technological voodoo and psychotronics. And so, but the good news is we seem to pull through it every time. And you know, with me, it just makes me get out there and do even more. And it seems like you're of that same character.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're really pushing us against the wall, but it's like the backlash or the response is a greater force than maybe what was before, because this is the nature of, you know, what it means. there's no time to be a victim to it. It's about raising our frequency and unearthing, you know, deeper passion and perseverance and strength in the face of it. And I have to tell you, it's like, that's exactly what I went through. And, you know, there's all sorts of techniques and tools, healing modalities that one can use. But what I usually do is I kind of scream and cry through it. I just let it rip. I just, like, if I need to, you know, and I'll be bedridden for days and I'll just be like, you know, I don't even know why I'm crying, but it's like, I almost feel like, you know, there's just these balls of really heavy density, maybe even blocking and clogging up the natural stargates from opening. And I just feel myself just in there, just like, you know, just releasing, you know, through the emotional body. And I notice, you know, the manipulations, you know, come between people, and it can be something very silly or just the way something was presented, to create kind of a breakdown when the sensitivities are just getting so enhanced. Mm-hmm. There's always, you know, kind of an outside trigger that can help with the release or, you know, bring light to what's accumulating within the system or the nervous system. And so it's just interesting to watch, and I've gotten much better at just, you know, kind of stepping back and observing and not taking it too personally and recognizing, you know, these are heavy attacks. And sometimes I don't go into the clairvoyance to see where it's coming from. I'm just in it.
Yeah.
And, it's intense. I mean,
yeah.
And it's been this way for so many years, but yeah, right before we do something big, they really do step it up. And so I can't imagine, you know, just you saying this helicopter thing and still healing from it. It does take so much to get back in one center. It amazes me.
Yeah, it seems to be there's so many different things going on. One, the whole earth is ascending and going to the next level. And then the other thing is we've got these other guys who are doing all they can to stop it and, you know, and to try to suppress or take out the people that are informing people as to what's going on so they can help depersonalize some of the shifts in the energies.
Right. And you know, I think our timing is such that, you know, I mean, before the presentation, or at least a couple weeks in preparation for it, it was just like this chess game. And I know we feel like we're playing the game and we don't want to play the game, but right before the event, my inner voice just kept saying to me, checkmate, you know, you've cornered them, you know, checkmate, you know, there's nowhere they can go. You're going to express this. Nobody's going to hurt you or kill you. You're just going to do it. And I just feel that this is what we've all done. It's like we've somehow managed to, you know, play the game by, you know, the divine feminine energies, which is the queen who, you know, kind of has a great position on the board. And it's not about the gender so much. It's about us being able to feel and to be intuitive and to be sensitive and to, you know, awaken that depth within us, which is where that passion for truth, you know, comes from. And then the male energy, of course, protects it and holds space for it and is sort of the guard outside of the temple, making sure that no invaders come in. And I just kept having these pictures in my head, and then, you know, just really connecting, you know, with like you and everybody, you know, who's doing the same thing. We really strengthen each other because it's all of us and our unity that keeps us strong. So I'm just so grateful for what we're doing and for what you do, and I'm just so glad to be on the other side of it. And I just have to say that after the event, we went to Florence, Italy, and got to see, you know, the Sandro Botticelli original paintings, and then stumbled upon, you know, a billboard where, you know, three original members from King Crimson were playing and got VIP passes and got to meet them. And I was just like, yes, this is the universe giving me a high five, because, you know, I couldn't think of any other way to be, I guess, rewarded. I haven't seen live music in so long, and that used to be my favorite band. So we left with the biggest smiles on our face, and it's just like still kind of recovering from jet lag. But
yeah.
You can find the transcript and the presentation on my website. So anybody who wants to check that out.
yeah, I think it's amazing. Now, some of the topics you covered, I think you covered geoengineering and what else in your talk?
Well, geoengineering, FEMA camps, you know, the potential control collapse of the economy, the chipping of civilians, you know, everything that we might be up against, where it's coming from, and just really, you know, calling out to those that are serving these agendas to, you know, stop allowing yourselves to be blackmailed and, you know, join us, you know, and to give us the opportunity to express, because we're born with solutions and we're being silenced. And basically our children have no real future but to live in an enslaved society. But yet we are born with, you know, the solutions. We need a voice. We need to be heard. And, you know, it was really about addressing those that might be very threatened and might feel they have no other option but to serve these dark agendas, to just know that they have a safe, you know, loving community of light workers that want to, you know, help them to break free. And then those that are in the know, that are doing it consciously and, you know, are behind all these manipulations, you know, basically it's game over, you know, yeah. And just, you know, calling out just the Bilderbergs and just, you know, the roots of, you know, what's happened, and the nature of what these wars were really about. And like I said, the treaties, that was, you know, an interesting one. I, you know, I consider myself a part of this family, but more as an observer. I'm not here to be biased. I'm not here to really stand up for anybody. You know, I just really want to, you know, present the truth. And, mm-hmm. you know, I did it to the best of my ability, but did find, you know, some really positive things to say about, you know, Ike's intention, which of course connects with the heart of, you know, being related and having that, mm-hmm. Desire to, you know, protect that. But, you know, if he was an evil crook, I would be out there slamming him right and left. I don't care who my relatives are, but, yeah. You know, but it just so happens that, you know, I really got to know him better and just have a lot of compassion for what he is up, mm-hmm. what he was up against, which is something we're all up against, you know, and yeah. we all have to be leaders, you know, and that's why it never worked to have these sort of systems in place, because it can never be on anybody's, you know, shoulders. And it never was, because we got the shadow government pulling the strings.
Yeah. That's, what's going on right now. It just never ceases to amaze me. I was going to bring up Bill Gates, but he went, he goes and buys huge amount of stock in Monsanto, and then they buy Blackwater, you know, and then they heavy into inoculations all over the, I guess India and the East, you know, he's Africa, you know, they're doing heavy inoculations. There's something like 10 to 12 polio cases. And when they left with their inoculations, there were like 45,000 people that were suffering from debilitation from polio and things and of that nature. A lot. I don't know how many died out of that 45,000. But what blows me away is that these guys are on like TED Talk. You know, they're going on the air. They're speaking at universities and everything else. And you go, when are the people going to wake up and look at who these people really are? And, you know, and what their agendas are, because, I mean, to me, that's just pure evil, what's going on there. I can't explain it any other way.
Yeah, I think it's so traumatizing for people to, you know, be even capable of grasping, you know, that you know, this is happening. And even though the term sheeple is easily thrown around, and I know I've used it myself,
yeah.
I just see these, you know, vulnerable, open-hearted people that just have trust and just, you know, assume that we're being taken care of and we're being looked out for. And it's just hard, because these people aren't the ones that are, you know, consciously doing really low vibe, negative things to people. You know, they're just trying to put their kids in the school system. They're trying to, you know, I guess have a successful life. You know, but within that whole facade are the ones like Bill Gates and others that, you know, have a lot of money that, are somewhat in the know. It's just hard to stomach anymore, though, you know, the attention that the royal family gets, and when there's, you know, the Queen Jubilee, and, you know, it's like, how are we hailing these people that have enough money in the crowns that they wear on their heads to feed the population? I mean, it's so in our face, you know, it's like, look up at the sky. It's like, you know, after a certain point, that compassion, you know, turns to a lot of frustration, and then back to compassion, and then to frustration. Mm-hmm. It's like this ping pong game. And that's, I guess, the middle of all that is, you know, the desire to really speak out and say, hey, you know, can you just give us like the time of day to just, I just can't imagine how something so obvious can be so ignored at this point.
Yeah, I'm curious. Have you ever seen the Pope's throne?
Yeah.
With this huge demonic reptilian being, you know, in the back of it. That's, I mean, it's undeniable. I just go, oh my God, that's his throne. But, you know, it kind of makes sense considering all the things that have been going on there with the church lately and everything else, but, that they would have a throne like that. But, when I saw that, I go, oh my God, that is blatant. You know, they should have that plastered over every billboard, you know, on the planet.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, it's all, you know, staring us in the face, and it's just so obvious in media and all the false flags and how, just ridiculous at all is in the entertainment industry. And I don't know, we're all kind of eating the same food. And, you know, I know a lot of us haven't always had the purest of diets. It's just some of us, I guess, get it and others don't. But, I mean, the masses is just like, you know, it's just going to take just that little nudge to, yeah. to shift everything. And we're so close, but we're in this window period. And I mean, this is what's so important about getting all this out there, because, you know, that one little nudge, we're so close to, you know, I guess creating that event. I mean, Cobra talks about the event. We just had Brad Olson on the show talking about the event. I guess the mm-hmm. way I would put it is, you know, when that tipping point happens and just that mm-hmm. wave of awakening, you know, takes place. But of course, you know, we're being poisoned in the process, and it's a race against time. You know, how quickly is our body going to, you know, shut down, or how quickly is our frequency going to be raised to be able to transmute and handle these assaults? You know, and it's mm-hmm. going to take that consciousness to be able to transmute it. And, you know, it's just a very interesting time. But, you know, I do a lot of readings every day, and I just keep up with what's going on with mm-hmm. the collective. And it's looking, you know, good. I've always gotten really good readings about where we're all heading, but it still looks kind of like we got a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah. While I was in Maui, I thought it was amazing, but I started meeting with a lot of the you know, some of the royal family, they're all getting behind the Shaka movement there, which is everybody's banding together to kick out Monsanto and put a moratorium so they can't do anything else, because it's gotten so bad. You know, they've taken paradise and just totally poisoned it, you know. And like on Molokai, they are spraying 190 different combinations of chemicals, and the kids there are being born without brains. There's all these birth defects. They're sick. There's tumors, everything. I mean, they have to close the schools down if the spray gets away from them, or the wind carries the spray. They have to do a lockdown on the schools, you know, things of that nature. It's just unbelievable the sickness that they've brought. And so now it's killing the reefs, and they're having all these other serious problems. So luckily in their constitution, it says if you're hurting the aina, you know, the land there, harmful to the land, you have to prove that what you're doing is safe before you can continue. So they're using that constitution and other methods and other information, and some top, you know, scientists have all come forward, and I think they're going to be successful. They had a march of, there's at least 2,500 up to 3,000 people, I guess, were involved in a march. I was in that march as well on Monsanto and Maui. And to me, that was very heartwarming to see that many people and children and everything, all with beautiful signs and very beautiful messages in the signs, and just, you know, really clarifying what's going on with Monsanto. And I know it was covered because they had a drone flying right over us constantly. And I go, what is this, man? So I took a bunch of pictures of it and filmed it. But luckily it turned out to be one of the TV stations, you know. But I thought it was some probably Monsanto, the police or something. But, you know, it actually flew too close to one of the power lines and got shorted out.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of funny. But anyway, to make a long story short, I mean, the movement there in Hawaii, and that was one of the reasons I went to Hawaii, to Maui, because it's the heart center of the planet. And we did some major Stargate activations and openings there, and did a lot of clearing while I was there to just help open that door for that heart-centered energy to start flooding the planet.
Oh, that's so incredible. Oh, my gosh. And it's so neat, you know, that the parallel of our timing of, you know, doing a lot of just very intensified work is, I mean, I feel so much is lifted. I mean, it feels really good. And, you know, even a congressperson in Italy publicly has been talking about chemtrails. And I guess there was a successful response in the news in Italy. And, you know, and what you've done there, and just that march, and just, you know, everybody, it's just like, you know, this is going to happen. And the thing is with the creator, just the source of all that is, it can regenerate anything and everything. It's the veil that keeps us from being able to access it and ground it and anchor it. So I love how you express that of, you know, just really allowing that, you know, to just stream in, because it's there, it's available, and it's more powerful than anything. And mm-hmm. it can crush these technologies. It can, you know, it's like, and it's right there. It's right under our nose. We just have to say, hey, okay, I'm going to put my hand out and I'm going to grab it. I'm going to speak on behalf of it, but it's not even outside of us. It's our higher self. It's our divine blueprint. It's what we're made of. Mm-hmm. So these are really exciting times. And just like you, you know, whatever tends to want to push us down further is going to create a greater strength and a greater response. So go for it. You know, it's like, we're forced to be reckoned with. And I used to, you always like to say, you're just creating a monster, you know, go push me all you want. I'm just going to get stronger.
Yeah. To me, if they take me out, I'll get them from the other side.
Yeah.
You know? So, but anyway, it's a lot better for them to leave me in the body. Don't release me from the body then.
Right. It's like, it's much worse. It's like, and that's the thing with death. It's like, that's why this trip to Italy, it wasn't about the threats of, you know, am I going to live or die? That's like an easy one because I'm pretty detached. It's like, you know, death, yeah, is no big deal at all. I think it was just, you know, the desire to just, you know, have this be a success. But it's just moving through that energy, just all those attacks, just all those things that like to, you know, clog us up. But, and I think also just on the most micro level, you know, I just don't want to upset anybody close to me who doesn't appreciate the way I'm expressing it. But that, you know, really served me because it helped me word things in a way that will help those that are immersed in these things without being able to see the larger picture or mm-hmm. begin to unwind from it and be open to it, instead of kind of blasting, you know, too much in a way that would turn people off. So, you know, there's an art to it, and I guess it depends on the audience, and that's the tough part at times.
Well, I know one thing that helped me out. I was meditating once, and Babaji told me, he said, don't water seedlings with a fire hose.
I love that.
Yeah, so I thought about that. But, you know, we have to wake up and realize that there are so many people that are willing participants in this whole thing that don't even know. I mean, because it's so compartmentalized. You know, they're creating little creatures and nanobots and bacterias and planes and chemtrail planes. And, you know, they're all participating in their own demise. And I think eventually when they wake up, they're just going, I just can't, you know, I can't do this anymore, when they start connecting the dots and figure out how this is all being used.
Absolutely. And that was also a huge focus. I mentioned the compartmentalism, and, you know, people that don't see the larger picture have no idea what they're serving or what they're doing. And they're probably obviously told something completely different and that it's for the betterment. And they do that a lot. And also the patriotic programming. And that's why people go to war. It's like, you know, you're doing this to serve your country. You're doing this to, you know, help the human genome, or this is all for to protect us from global warming. And it's like utter manipulation. And yeah, when it dawns on them what they really are doing, you know, just like Phil Schneider and others who just turned right around and said, I cannot do this. People have such a good conscience. Most of these people, I'm sure, do. They just don't really see the larger picture. And my God, I hope they just, you know, the synchronicities line up so they can get the information in time. And I'm sure mm-hmm. they will, because that's a much stronger energy, what we're seeded with, what we agreed to, what our deeper soul mission and calling is. You know, you can't suppress it. It's too powerful. And this is what these times are about. So no matter how much they're trying to put a lid on the volcano is much more powerful.
Yeah, I think within everybody, you know, there's this loving, joyous, wise, and powerful manifesting God or goddess, you know, waiting to come forward. And we're all inherently good. You know, we've just been misdirected, misled, and abused, and, you know, a lot of patterns involved in that process that doesn't allow that to come forward. But it seems like is starting to surface. I think that there's two things that the Illuminati or whatever kind of missed, you know. Actually, three things. One, the third thing they missed is karma, you know, action, reaction. They kind of can't wrap their heads around that for some reason. And, the unified field where everything's, you know, connected, they just can't wrap their heads around that because their egos think they're separate. But the other things is that they forgot to factor into their program is the source, you know, coming through the very souls and people awakening on a soul level and figuring things out and moving into direct knowing and things of that nature, as well as nature, you know, the whole card. You know, nature always has the last word. She's always last to bat. So, they haven't factored in those things in their equation. They think they can just run, you know, roughshod over nature with all their toys and things of that nature. And that always has a backlash.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, and there's, I just love everything you just said so much. And it's so true. And that's the thing with healing. And nature only knows how to heal. Its power alone has the wisdom of regenerating. You know, death is cyclical. Everything comes back again. Everything that dies creates more nutrient soil for the next growth to happen. And, you know, the wisdom of nature is regenerative, and we're connected with that, and we can regenerate and heal, you know, pretty much from anything. And, you know, no matter how much we're at rock bottom or how much we're pushed to the edge or how sick we might feel or how victimized we might feel, our bounce back is great. And it's from source. It's that spark that we all hold. And I love that, you know, how you put it, because of course they haven't taken that into account. And I think another great thing that's happening is there's a lot more transparency, a lot more vulnerability, a lot more people openly healing, sharing their stories, sharing things that maybe, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they would have felt embarrassed about, or, you know, like, oh, I feel shame connected to this. And, you know, I just feel like a lot more people are admitting things, you know, to help to clear themselves and putting themselves kind of out there, you know, to just set the example, you know, maybe, you know, like an addict who's recovering. I mean, I used to be like a hardcore alcoholic in a lot of ways. Well, I don't know about hardcore, but so it's funny because I mention all this and I rarely talk about this. So I'm like, okay, well, why don't I just put myself out there? But just, you know, but I do mention it, just the incredible healing path. When we're suppressed or when we're working on healing a trauma and we don't have the tools or the know-how and we're not around supportive people, sometimes, you know, self-medication comes into the picture and, you know, we don't need to do that anymore. You know, we can just kind of, you know, be willing to share a little bit more before we grab that thing that's going to kind of temporarily take that pain away.
Yeah, I know so many sensitive people or people that actually incarnated from higher dimensions on a soul level have real trouble with being here on the earth, and they try to deal with that, suppress it through alcohol or drugs or whatever. And I know some of the most enlightened people, you know, end up succumbing to drugs, or some of them are in jail as well, because they just said, I can't function in this civilization, and they lash out. And our whole system is prone to just turn us into nice little neutered zombie robots is where they want to take us. But the people that lash out against that program seem to, take it. But I mean, I think that's going to be changing here real soon.
Yeah, it's just choosing, like, instead of, you know, going into the self-medication, go into the solution, be the solution, and express that. And that's really, you know, what pulled me out of it. And that was years ago. But it was just kind of like, you know, what do I care what anybody thinks, you know, and what am I here for? And we're lucid dreamers and everybody else is, you know, characters in our dream. And it's like, but it's all a part of us. It's an extension of us. And, you know, it's not always about the mirror, like everything is a mirror, but, you know, everything at least shows us what we need in order to grow, whether it's coming from within us or it's alerting us from outside. You know, it's an incredible process. And I just, yeah, I just really encourage people to just, you know, step away from giving up. It is so difficult. I mean, every day I'm shocked and amazed at how difficult it is to be in a human body. I'm just like, and it amazes me, but I realize when I'm feeling really positive or there's a lot of harmony between just, you know, the family energy or with friends, it gets much, much easier. It's easier to mail that letter. It's easier to get out of bed in the morning. It's easier to do the mundane. It turns into the fundane because, you know, you turn on the music, crank up the music, and I know you experienced this out on the ranch. You know, nothing is too difficult when the vibration is high. But when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling, you know, just like just looking at the news and just seeing where everything's at, and we let it really get the best of us, functioning in this human realm is a bitch. It is so challenging sometimes.
Yeah, it is. You know, going back to the mirror, I think what's really interesting is that I'd love to hear your take on this, but I've seen that people are, there's a program, and I think it was actually created out of Stanford research, where they're trying to say that everything is a mirror. If it's outside of you, it's within you. And in the ultimate picture, that's true because we all are part of the unified field. But they lay a guilt trip on people and they say, don't look at evil. Don't look at the bad. If you see it, it's in you and it's your stuff and things like that. And they actually suppress people through that program to actually speak out and rise up against the injustices and the evil.
Right, it's like to avoid it, but to speak out about it, you mean?
Well, yeah, it's a new age program kind of that was designed actually through Stanford Research Institute and released, you know, And it's all about, you know, well, telling people that, you know, don't see evil, because if you see evil, it's in you, and don't speak out against evil, because then you're in the low vibration, you know, you're lowering your vibration and you're harming the planet by actually discussing it,
or energizing it, or
you're a fear monger. That's the latest one, the catchphrase. You're a fear monger, and I go, I don't have any fear. I'm just telling it like it is.
Yeah, and that actually, denial is the highest form of fear. It's those that choose to turn the other way, and those who present those sort of new age deceptions are the ones in the most fear, because they can't look at the shadow, they can't look at their own inner demons, they can't look at the stuff that needs to be alchemized. I mean, the thing is, when we call it out, we start to change it. We start to alter it. When mm-hmm. we look inside of ourselves and we see the things that we want to change, you know, we can't bypass it. We have to look at it. And it goes for this outer world too. And that's what the reflection is. When we see something evil or dark, you know, we can say, all right, I have a sensitivity to it. It hurts because it doesn't feel right. So what happens? You know, take action, create solutions, you know, create justice. If it's something where, you know, a person is caught up in a negative behavior pattern, or they get sort of led astray and they don't realize it, you know, that's something else. So who's to say what's evil and not evil? Because most people don't even recognize it. You know, we become so desensitized, and it's so rewarded and encouraged that whole trip doesn't even make any sense, because people don't even know. You know, I think it has everything to do with feeling as much as possible, being so deep in the soul energy so that you have the sensitivity to know what feels right and what doesn't. And when it doesn't feel right, to consciously shift it by, you know, coming up with a higher perspective or something healing, something loving that can bring it home and to be reintegrated into the system. If we deny it, we're actually, you know, enabling duality, and we're not creating alchemy at all. We're just totally putting blinders on. And that, to me, is fear.
I agree. I mean, I just sum it up. You know, I look at universal law, and, you know, the old Native American saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. You know, I just keep it simple. But I just see, like, there is a war against creation. There's a war against nature. There's a war on humanity. You know, this global depopulations, excuse me, programs going on. But I just can't, you know, see that as something good, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's everybody trying to manage the human realm, and whatever good reasons they think they have, you know, I guess it depends on what race you are, what species you are, and what justification you have. And enough of that already, because that's all ego-based or superiority complex thinking. And it's like, let nature do its job. Everybody let go of the hidden agendas, the control agendas, or the righteousness or the entitlements, and let it go and let nature do its job. You know, let equilibrium come back. Take away these technologies. I mean, easier said than done. It's like, who can possibly convince these people? So if we can't convince the small percentage that's doing this and whatever alliance they have with off-planet entities that are of a lower nature, you know, when we, you know, unify and we become the leaders, you know, those numbers are going to completely override what the small amount of the minority is doing to the majority. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have on our side. And it just seems like it's so simple, but, you know, and the thing is, you know, you and I are still alive, you know, if we can do it, I mean, who else can't? It's just, there's really no threat. So I don't know what people are scared of. You know, I think it's a little bit different when you sign an oath, you know, when you are like a Phil Schneider that, you know, maybe made an agreement to not speak. But I didn't make any agreement. You didn't make any agreement. Most of the human population didn't make any agreements. And so it's a little bit different. So mm-hmm. we just need to be empowered.
Yeah, be educated. You know, it's interesting. There's a major, I won't mention names. There's a major person in the UFO community that was really speaking out about how we need to depopulate the planet and get the population down and everything. And one of my questions was, well, if you're really a man of your conviction, you know, why don't you start with yourself? You know?
Yeah.
And they go,
so awesome.
Oh no, I'm much too important. You know, I'm much too important. And I go, well, you know, in God's eyes, everybody's equally important and unimportant. You know, I said, there's no judgment there. So why, you know, if you really believe that, then why don't you start with yourself and your family? You know, it's like,
that's awesome.
And it was kind of funny, but I always think about that. It's this extreme arrogance and I'm so important program and things of that nature. I just, you know, I see everybody. I see the God in everybody. And you know, people have different levels of layers on top of that, you know, but everybody's equally important.
Definitely. And I love that because, you know, if we can speak to that part of each other and not, you know, all the outer layer stuff, the wounds, the programmings, the conditionings, the behavior, and we can just talk to, you know, give each other a spirit to spirit hello and just reach into the soul and talk to that part of each other, all the rest is just going to fall away. And I know, you know, I don't know if we maybe have the same person in mind, but there is somebody that I know as well, you know, in this consciousness movement who talks about all sorts of things, and is a pretty public figure of the truth movement, who would be considered a colleague of ours, who is saying that the elders should decide who gets terminated and who gets wiped out. And I'm just blown away because this is somebody that I would never expect to hear it from. And I would love to just, oh my gosh, say what you did. I mean, that's just so brilliant. It's just like, yeah, well, start with yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's this entitlement. It's like, well, what puts you in that hierarchy? It's mm-hmm. certainly not your spirit, because your spirit knows we're all equal. It's your freaking ego.
Yeah. Well, they said, I think it was in the movie Thrive, they said that if you took all the population on the planet and gave them an acre of land, they'd fit into a state the size of Texas, you know, with an acre of land. And so, it was, you know, you add free energy to that and, you know, a better distribution of food, you know, like bringing all these other technologies. There is no problem why anybody should lack for anything. And especially when just the massive expenditures, you know, in the war industry and all these other industries that serve nothing, and the pharmaceutical industries and the nuclear industries, which is the most worst cost-effective program we can do, because it's bolstered up by the government, basically. You know, all these things that are harmful to the planet, if we could just redirect our resources, you know, everybody would just be thoroughly abundant, and you wouldn't be competing with each other. You wouldn't be fighting over resources. I mean, we have everything we need right here. It's just getting rid of the tyranny that is not allowing these things to come forward.
Yes, and we can heal the oceans too, you know, from that. And everything we could possibly need is available. And there's, you know, no reason that we can't, you know, turn all this around. The technologies, you know, that they use behind the scenes, you know, can teleport food to those that are hungry. Even, you know, the weather modification technologies, you know, can improve the damage that's been done and then be shut down for good. And it's just, you know, we're really close. I mean, it's just the wrong people are in the driver's seat or have their hands on this stuff. I personally, you know, tend to lean towards less technology, or just technology that's in harmony with nature, of course. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, technologies based on sound, frequency, color, you know, that, you know, would make most sense. And just to get rid of anything that has anything to do with mind control. But the fact that a lot of it does exist and has created a lot of the damage, maybe we need to use it to undo the damage and then shut a portion of it down. But yeah, you know, and this is, I really feel is what we're doing. And it's creating an impact. I mean, mm-hmm. what you did in Hawaii and what I was able to pull off in Italy, and what so many of our friends and colleagues are doing all around the world. You know, I think that everything is really, you know, moving in the right direction. On a more immediate level, as far as just taking care of our physical, when it comes to, you know, just dealing with these assaults, I mean, I'm just finding just the more just joy and humor and just levity that one can find, you know, the better. Like this week, for example, we're dealing with a Grand Cross intensification because Mars is entering the picture. Mm-hmm. And most of the astrologers that have written anything about this say, we have nothing good to say about this. I mean, really, it's not going to be easy. And they're even like preparing for a flood or a tsunami, like going into mm-hmm. the basement, like, geez, you know, is it really going to be that bad? We've got about 4 more days and I'm kind of counting down, like, okay, setting the groundwork. But, you know, these are great, great opportunities. You know, it's like the pressure, the intensity and the destruction, we can steer with our consciousness in a way that can destroy what doesn't serve us and unearth what really does, you know, work for us. Because you can't destroy the stuff that is really here to help. You mm-hmm. you can't destroy spirit. So anything that is on its way out, we just have to pick wisely and not sabotage the things that we consider blessings, and not to take anything for granted during these times.
Yeah, it is tough. I notice with myself is that whenever I shift into that, you know, the attitude of gratitude, that everything starts changing. And rather than getting all bummed out about, you know, what's happening, what's been done, what's been taken, what's been broken, you know, all those things, when I just start looking around me at what I do have, it really makes a huge difference in my own psyche and energy and my ability to regenerate myself.
Definitely. And then that comes out with the way that, you know, we all treat one another, because the thing is, when things push us to the limit, sometimes our tone of voice isn't that positive, or the things mm-hmm. that we say don't come across very well. And the arguments and the discord and the strife and the conflict can begin to create an energetic, you know, constriction or challenge that makes life miserable. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, when we just step away from it all and just choose gratitude, you know, we're in the co-creation. It's not just, oh, we're just being positive and just, you know, faking it till we make it. We're actually co-creating, you know, our reality. And it's not anything that one can put a fixed prediction on. It's how we're artists with energy. And we have a choice in every moment to take it to the highest level. And so, you know, I have to just keep reminding myself of that when I'm either around a negative being that's trying to pull me down, or when I'm feeling, you know, pushed to the edge. And I just need to, you know, tell people I'm just, you know, I just need to release. And I like to just, you know, warn the villagers before the volcano is going to blow, because, you know, sometimes you just can't hold, you can't contain some of the frustrations anymore. But the more honest we are, the better.
Yeah, I like that one analogy about fear mongering. They said, well, if a guy's house is burning down, do you say, oh, I can't go bang on his door because then I'm acting in fear, and I'm, you know, I said, no, you go bang on the door and you get the people out of there, you know. Yeah. And it's just common sense, you know, that we miss it. I had this guy say something to me the other day. It just floored me. I didn't even know what to say. It was like, you know, when we've gone so far into this information and we're so, we've been pretty much not totally enlightened, but enlightened to what's really going on. And the depths, especially with the UFO energy and all the agreements that were made in the past and everything else. And I was talking to this guy, and he goes, well, they proved that was just a weather balloon, you know? and I just looked at this guy, and I just smiled, and I just go, I got to go, you know, I'll just go.
You're a they anyway. It's like, why don't you research the they?
Yeah.
And this thing about fear mongering is so annoying, and it's the same thing with, you know, just all this promotion of being in denial, but using fluffy words instead of, you know, be in denial. I kind of had the mindset of, you know, I want to step right into the fear, you know, bring on the fear. Let me just dive right into it and see that there's really nothing to fear. Mm-hmm. I'd rather, you know, immerse myself in the fear, you know, in whatever it is that they're asking us to avoid, and plant myself right in the center of it, and start to, you know, find a perspective that begins to dissolve it and take it to a higher level than avoid it altogether. And that's the same thing with doing inner work. You know, there's parts of ourselves that we might be afraid of. We're afraid of our power. We're afraid of our past. We're afraid of maybe certain mistakes we've made. But when we go right into the center of it and we just see it for what it is, real healing happens. And so whatever with fear mongering, it's like, let's look at all the things we need to be concerned about and stop calling it fear mongering. Let's call it being responsible, and then being wise and creative and inventive and resourceful and brilliant, and change it. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, come on, fear mongering. It's like, if your kid's getting molested, do you ignore it? Do you put attention on it? It's just, I don't know who writes this stuff, you know, and then ends up spreading it around and having it be like the latest thing to attach oneself to it. But I find, like, it doesn't really serve me.
Some of these programs are running. I see these guys, and they, you know, they have all the outfit on, the guru, and they have these plastic smiles on their faces, and they, you know, they spew out these truths and everything, and they're saying, I'm above all that, you know, and I just go, wow, you know, I can see behind your mask, and I know what, and that's your mask that you put on for the public, but I know what goes on, you know, behind the mask and your everyday life. And so it's kind of interesting observing that, going, you know, why don't we just all get real here and be authentic and drop the masks?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love these kind of conversations, because it's just like such a breath of fresh air. And the thing is, you know, when we, you know, garden, when we cook a meal, are we above, you know, washing up after ourselves? I mean, there's always going to be a byproduct to creative energy. You know, there's nothing that we engage in that doesn't have something that needs to be thrown away or composted. And so the same thing with being an enlightened being, it's a maintenance job. You don't just arrive there and then you're done. You know, you have to maintain your field. You have to pluck the weeds. You have to clear yourself. You have to make sure that, you know, you're not absorbing other people's negative energy. And it's a maintenance job. It's not, you know, something you attain and then you're done. So, I mean, that's just the way I see it. It's like we're all enlightened, but we need to maintain it by being conscious every day and being humble and being able to receive and then create. So, I mean, there's a byproduct to that, and we can't deny it. We're not above it. We have to be, like, you know, up to the task. And then we can, you know, be, I think, genuine. And then when we relate on that level, you know, people, you know, gravitate towards that because they feel that sense of, oh, my gosh, they're just like me, instead of, am I supposed to prop this person up? And, oh, my gosh, are they going to fall off that pedestal? Or am I going to fall if I don't, you know, adopt, you know, this facade that appears to be some sort of guru wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of these things going on, because I think a lot of these realities that these people are trying to, you know, profess or push out there have, you know, some major fallacies in them. I love the one people say, you know, they'll say, well, this is all illusion. It doesn't exist. It's not real. And I go, well, see that tree over there? Take a run at it and get back to me. You know, I said, let's see what kind of illusion is it. You know, you have a physical body. You're in this physical reality, this 3D reality. And what happens here also affects other realities. And it determines where you go in your next understanding. So let's just give it all the same attention. You know, let's clean up the mess here. And you know, which actually started from the mess on other levels, you know, in your mental or emotional bodies.
Definitely. I mean, it's like everything that's happened in creation is the same thing that happens on a daily basis with the way we work energy and how it affects our physical experience. It steps down and it ends up, you know, manifesting. And so we got to, the only thing that to me is the illusion is our perceptions and our belief systems. But the physical aspect, of course, is real. It's like we have nerve endings. We feel pain, you know, we feel things on all different levels of our being, whether it's emotional, physical pain or spiritual repression or, you know, psychic attack or anything. You know, there's a lot for us to address, but, you know, the highest of our consciousness, you know, puts it all into balance. You know, just like the physical body has all these different organs, they're all very different from each other. But when we, on a conscious level, you know, find internal balance, everything works together just fine. And there's no war between our organs or one trying to override the other. It's like diversity and harmony is oneness, and we're mm-hmm. in the one body of creation. And so if our consciousness is intact and if we're in integrity and we come from a higher place, everything's going to naturally follow. But we're so caught up in, you know, what's inside and what's at war with each other that we get caught in the game and we lose perspective. And so, oh, it's just intense.
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, you just get thrown into this sea of confusion down here. And even when you incarnate, you know what I've noticed is there's so many people when I do counseling work that right around the age 5 or 7, somewhere around there, that is when people like wake up or they start to realize that, wow, this world is not the same world that I came from. And they really have kind of a shock that they go through. And a lot of them get ill or sick, you know, during that process where they all of a sudden they have to come to the realization that the earth is, you know, in many cases, it depends on where you incarnate, I guess, is not, it's not anything like the higher civilization that you came from.
Yeah. It's, I mean, on so many levels. I mean, it took in a lot of souls that needed to be rehabilitated. I mean, it's like the soul thing, it's really just exercise for the soul. It's an opportunity for the soul to advance itself. And so we're thrown everything under the sun, I guess, and it feels like a test, but at the same time, it's a very unfair thing when there's mind control and there's, you know, such manipulation to our food and water and everything. But, you know, what we can prove at the end of the day is the power of our spirit is greater than anything else, and it holds the capacity to regenerate and transmute and shift things, because it is all energy, you know, and, mm-hmm. and down to the frequency of what poison is, you know, is a concentration of energy that can be broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it takes a lot of remembering who we are and what we're made of, and to also know this is temporary, and it's kind of a holding tank, courtesy of Mother Earth and the unconditional love of the mother, to give us a chance with our free will to choose, you know. I mean, this Lucifer Rebellion stuff, I mean, the more I research it and just how many different types of beings, you know, discuss this, from, you know, the Bible to the most esoteric, metaphysical, mystical origins, you know, something major went on with that. But it's really, you know, it just comes down to the negative ego. And is it going to align with service to self or service to others? And yep. we land here on this earth to learn these kind of lessons. But once we get it, we're not stuck on a poison planet. I mean, I really know that we move on, and mm-hmm. that what we're given here is an opportunity to be pushed to the edge so that we remember. And then we get to live in the divine reflection of what that remembrance is once we get there.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour here, but before we close out, I wanted you to give any information about any upcoming workshops or classes or services that you provide.
Excellent. Let's see. Well, I will be speaking at the San Francisco Expo April 25th to 27th. Actually, it's in San Mateo, California. And all that information basically is on my website, cosmicgaiasophia.com. And I know we're going to be coming out to see you, which I'm really excited about, July 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be Laura and Dr. Dream Retreat Camping Weekend. We are so thrilled. Being in your company is just awesome. I mean, just this conversation is just like, yes, oh my gosh, we're going to be out there and hanging with you and having all sorts of great conversations. Mm-hmm. So I hope people will join us there. And Contact in the Desert, that will be August 20th, I believe. But yeah, check out my website, cosmicgaiasophia.com. And Facebook's a good place to, you know, keep up with me. And my name there is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower.
Great. Hey, Joaquin, can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's always awesome having a conversation with you, and keep up the great work.
Yes, and you too. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. And it's been, you know, great to catch up and hear about your trip. And really look forward to seeing you soon. And thanks for having me on.
All right. Have a great one.
You too.